This is the Secrets of Attorney Marketing podcast from Speakeasy Marketing. Discover how to enhance your reputation as an attorney and outmarket your competitors. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast and post a review.
Hello, this is Richard Jacobs with Speakeasy Marketing. I'm speaking with Kyle O'Dowd and Jessica Steppen of NACDL, and we'll get into their titles and more about them in a second. And this is for the Secrets of Attorney Marketing podcast. So Kyle is NACDL's Associate Executive Director for Policy. And if I haven't mentioned it, NACDL is the National Association for Criminal Defense Lawyers. And Jessica Steppen is NACDL's Associate Executive Director for Strategic Marketing. So I want to welcome both of them. Thank you for coming.
Thank you, Richard.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah. And I can tell listeners, you know, I've spoken at a number of NACDL's events. I've attended a bunch, they put on great conferences. They've been around far longer than I have. And attorneys can go to get CLE credits, meet with other attorneys, network, all kinds of great stuff. But I'll have them tell you more about that. So if we could start, when was NACDL created and what was the original intent of it when it was first created?
So it's just celebrated NACDL, which is the National Association of Criminal Defense Lawyers, as we said earlier, has been around for 60 years. We just celebrated our 60th anniversary. And its mission has always been to work towards advancing the mission of criminal defense lawyers and ensuring justice and due process for all people accused of crimes and other misconduct. And it really is just about guaranteeing or doing our best to guarantee justice for all.
Right. And just to piggyback on that, part of that is about improving the system in which everyone operates, fairness and due process. And part of that is about elevating the practice, which is, is the reason for our CLEs and other educational efforts we undertake.
Yeah. And even though I'm not a lawyer myself, I know that they serve a valuable purpose. You know, the public was always like, oh, if someone's done something bad, lock them up and throw away the key. But, you know, as lawyers listening, I know they defend all kinds of people, some innocent, some not, but they need representation in the criminal justice system because it can be super scary and frightening and obviously life-changing. So I really congratulate all the lawyers that do what they do in this field, especially. It's not easy just observing what they do. I couldn't imagine being one. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's an amazing membership. I think it's one of the few professional associations, maybe the only professional association that advocates for policies that really shrink the clientele that's available for its members. This is a group of people that have chosen a profession as a passion, a profession that aligns with their values personally for the most part. So it's a great group to work with. It's really like a combination of a civil rights organization like ACLU and a professional association like the many that exist in Washington, D.C.
Okay. Well, let's get into a membership. What's involved when an attorney wants to become a member, and what does that look like, and what kind of benefits do they get?
Well, we have different types of membership categories, regular member, which is a member in private practice, or public defender. And there's other categories like a new lawyer, law professor, military, judge, associate member. But all of those comprise up around, we have thousands of members as well as affiliate organizations too. But the benefits are numerous, and Kyle will go over one of our main benefits, which is the advocacy work we do, and Kyle actually leads those efforts. But the other benefits include a sense and access to an amazing community. We have the best lawyers in the profession, and our members have access to them both online and face-to-face through our various networking opportunities, which is another great member benefit. We have an online community called NACDL Connect, and we have meetings and education programs, which you mentioned earlier, that are just top-notch, which also provide relationship-building time. And I've been at NACDL for a year, and the members really are such a tight-knit family. It's really a camaraderie with the people who have chosen to do this career because they share passion for justice. So it's wonderful networking, wonderful community, and the career development beyond just the CLEs is fantastic with our professional magazine, The Champion, which is award-winning and often commented about how valuable of a resource it is, and people save it, people pass it along. We have daily emails that keep all of our members up to date in what's going on in the nation and sometimes worldwide in the criminal justice field, things that they should know about that could impact their caseload in all different types of ways. And the top-notch CLE, of course. We have products, we have manuals, different resources that go along with various practice areas sometimes are based off of our CLE program, which we already talked about how fantastic that they are. Our product team works day and night to make sure that we are putting out fabulous materials that are really useful for our members and beyond.
I know also, one quick question. A lot of my experience, since I'm not an attorney, has been with the conferences. So I wanted to just make a few mentions there that, you know, I have clients around the U.S. And what's really cool is when I go to some of the conferences that, you know, I have one guy I know from the East Coast and, you know, one lady I know from the West Coast, and they'll hang out, they'll share ideas. It's not just going to a conference and getting your CLE credits. It's also interacting live and in person, and you make friends, which is really cool. And I've seen a lot of the attorneys return year after year to see their friends and to hang out and to get CLE credits and to network. And I know you guys have had some celebrity speakers as well. I know you had Lawrence Taylor for DUI, but any other celebrity speakers or really high-end attorney speakers you've had recently in the past few years?
Really, all of our faculty are high-end and celebrities in the industry, but one that comes to my mind quickly is Jerry Buting of Making a Murderer fame. He is a member and often presents at our seminars.
Okay, very good. So let's talk a little bit more about, again, the live seminars. Can you give an example? You know, let's even mention a few of them that are coming. An example of a few that have been put on, and you know what generally happens when an attorney attends one, and then we could talk about other membership benefits.
Sure. We have a program coming up, two programs coming up in January, Race Matters 2, which is January 10th to the 11th in Los Angeles, which obviously by the title is the second one of these programs that we've put on, and last year's was amazing, and we have no reason to think that this one won't be as well. And it's clear by the title what it's about, but it just is so timely, and everybody's going to leave with a greater understanding of just what that they can do to help kind of level the playing field as best they can when it comes to race and criminal justice. Kyle, do you want to add anything about that program?
Well, it is slightly different, I suppose, from some of our programs. Well, we always try to inject some issue advocacy, some policy issues that concern criminal defense lawyers into our programming. But that one will be a little bit more focused on those issues and maybe slightly less focused on kind of the nuts and bolts of practice. So a lot of discussion of the impact of race on criminal justice outcomes and the most recent research about bias in the criminal justice system. So a little more policy focus on that one.
Yeah. Okay. We have several other education programs coming up, but one that is a little bit more focused on tools and tactics is our midwinter meeting and seminar in February in Phoenix, and that's the title of that seminar is Preventing Wrongful Convictions, Eyewitness Misidentification and False Confessions. This is looking to be one of our best seminars as well in lovely Phoenix in February. We're out of DC, so everybody's excited about that. But in addition to the seminar, we also have our committee meetings then too. So it's a large group, and as you mentioned, it's a people come to see their family, or they call their colleagues family and their friends, and it's going to be a great event, and that's February 13th to the 16th of 2019, obviously.
Yeah, I saw there's a full calendar just with NACDL's events, and you move around too. You don't just stay on West Coast or East Coast, so it's convenient for attorneys all over the U.S., which is great. I've been to the DUI one, white collar, sex crimes. I mean, there's all kinds of great topics, which is really cool. So I can see that, you know, there's really a lot to be had there. Some of the seminars, I know there was over 300 attorneys attending. So it's not like they're tiny events. There's a lot of people that come.
Oh, yes. And a lot of them are repeat attendees because they see the value and are encouraging and bringing their peers to come along with them. And if anybody's interested in learning more about our education programs or NACDL as a whole, NACDL.org is a valuable resource to learn about all of our member benefits, to join the association, and to help us by taking action as well, by contacting your local representatives, signing petitions. We always need help from everyone, not just criminal defense attorneys.
Yeah. And what have you noticed? What kind of comments do you get from your members that they tell you that, you know, either surprised you or, you know, made you feel good, that you were happy?
I will jump in and say that a long-time member, someone who is still practicing and in their 70s maybe at this point, mentioned that the most recent white-collar seminar was the best seminar he'd ever been to. And those, I will say that the white collar seminars are two of my favorite seminars that we put on annually. We do one on the East Coast and then one in the fall, and then one on the West Coast in the early summer. And, the West Coast, seminar is coming up in June 19th and 22nd in Santa Monica, California. And it's just a fantastic venue, and a really high caliber, level of speakers. It is, I think, you know, one of the jewels in the NACDL CLE crown. Both of them are just, you know, superlative, I would say. And so we get a lot of positive feedback. We just had a seminar on surveillance in the digital age in Berkeley, California, that was extremely well received. We're expecting to get the highest attendee ratings ever of an NACDL program. Hopefully some of that will be available online in the not too distant future, but just an extraordinary caliber of panelists at that program as well. And, you know, very, very timely information in the wake of some seminal Supreme Court decisions that really changed the landscape, and the ability of defense lawyers to challenge government surveillance, you know, of digital information.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, what topics do you see as becoming super important now and in the near future? So that sounds like one of them. Any other topics that you're looking to talk about? Anything AI related or other topics that are affecting, you know, maybe civil forfeiture is changing? Anything you see that's up and coming?
Sure. Well, just to reiterate, I don't think you can overstate how important the Fourth Amendment is to our rights, to the way we live our lives in the United States, and with the increasing amount of information that we store digitally and the increasing access the government has to it, there's a real risk there. And certainly, as with all rights or most rights, criminal defense lawyers are at the front lines in protecting and in preventing government overreach in this area. And for a long time, the doctrines that protected people's privacy have been lagging behind the technology. And so that's why we've invested heavily in this area. We have recently created a Fourth Amendment Center. We have four full-time staff people working on this issue, creating resources for defense lawyers to challenge digital surveillance and helping them litigate and putting on trainings and webinars, and really trying to make sure that they have access to the most cutting edge information, and ensuring that we do everything we can to help shape the doctrines that evolve in the wake of these important Supreme Court cases like Carpenter and Jones and other cases. So that's a huge area for us. You mentioned AI. You know, that's an area we're looking at currently. We do have a task force on predictive policing and related AI issues. We are looking at risk assessments. That's all ongoing policy development work by the association, and hopefully within the next year, we'll be in a position to announce some policies and give additional direction to our advocacy work in those areas. You know, sentencing and mass incarceration remain, you know, I think, at the forefront and have become more and more in the public limelight. There was a report, I think, just released today by Forward U.S. that said that one in two people in the United States has had an immediate family member incarcerated one or more nights in jail or prison. You know, so this is not an abstract argument anymore. This is, as we've, you know, NACL's been saying, this is about our family members, our neighbors, our children, and other relatives. It's something that we really need to get a handle on. We need to roll back some of these policies that evolved in the 80s and 90s when the federal government and states were building about one new prison a week. And so that is always a very, very important issue for us. It's a complex issue, and there are a lot of facets and a lot of angles. And as most people know, there's a high-profile federal measure that has been kind of stalled in Congress that would address some of this. We argue that it doesn't go nearly far enough, although we have recently come out in support of it. It's a huge problem. And it leads to a lot of other problems. The other issue that we're putting a lot of energy behind is something called a trial penalty. In the federal system, and in state statistics sort of mirror this as well, but in the federal system, more than 97% of people plead guilty. That is due to a lot of reasons, but I think first and foremost, the severity of sentences in the federal system and elsewhere, with prosecutors having all the discretion and judges having much less than they did historically. Of the 354 people exonerated by DNA, 11% pled guilty, and the National Registry of Exonerations has shown that 359 exonerees that they're aware of pled guilty. So it's not just you know, run-of-the-mill cases where people are pleading guilty because they're guilty. These are cases where, you know, there's a true innocence issue here as well, and a fairness issue. On average, federal sentences are more than three times as long for people who go to trial versus those who plead guilty. And this is this has a ripple effect. I mean, for us as a professional association for defense lawyers, we're very concerned that the trial skills, frankly, of defense lawyers are atrophying under this system that is really more designed to process people than to achieve fair outcomes and allow people to exercise that right to trial. So those are a couple of big issues for us now. I could go on, and I risk probably angering people by not mentioning other issues. Public defense is evergreen and is always in crisis in the United States and is always a huge issue for us, and will be until we fix what is just a gross injustice.
Well, what about on a potentially lighter note, medical and recreational marijuana and states' adoption of that, and then, you know, autonomous vehicles possibly affecting, you know, DUI and other areas? Those seem like two forces that are shaping up recently as well.
Yeah, I mean, I have to say that NACDL is an association supports the legalization of marijuana, and so we're delighted to see this trend. I think Michigan, it became legal today. They passed the initiative earlier, but today is the first day for Michigan to have legal recreational marijuana. And as I said earlier, I mean, this is another example of NACDL members advocating against their financial interests, seeking decriminalization of cases. And it relates heavily to public defense, too. We just can't have all of these cases pouring into the system and expect people to be able to be treated fairly, for them to be able to exercise the right to trial, for public defender caseloads to be manageable. We have to get some of these issues out of the criminal justice system and into our health infrastructure, or treat them as civil infractions, or just completely eliminate them from the criminal code because they don't make any sense as criminal offenses. So that certainly applies to a lot of controlled substances. As far as autonomous vehicles, I have nothing to add on that. That's a new one for me. I'll bring that back to our policy folks and see what they have to say about it.
Okay. Well, of your members, in what ways do they reach out and ask for help? You know, what if they need a recommendation of an expert witness, or what if they're dealing with a case and they just need help on, defense ideas, or, they're trying to grow their practice or change their practice? Do those kind of issues come up, and is that what the community of NACDL members helps with?
Oh, definitely. And our members interact in a variety of ways, but one that's most common for issues and questions like you just mentioned is our online discussion group called NACDL Connect. We have a general listserv there for general topics that is very, very active. And then we have branch off listservs that go into more detail for young and new lawyer, women in criminal defense, specific practice areas. We also have directories online where people can learn about their other members in different areas and reach out to them. The camaraderie and the assistance and mentorship that our members provide to each other is phenomenal and is imperative in how they grow their practice and their skill set.
I would add to that NACDL also has a state criminal justice network that works with our affiliates at the state level and other advocates who reach out and want our help lobbying the state legislatures on reform issues. We put on a yearly conference for advocates, state level advocates, primarily lobbyists for NACDL's affiliates. We have affiliates in most states. And we also offer them some resources to bring in expert witnesses for legislative hearings, put on regular telephone conference calls to help them strategize and introduce them to other influential advocates that can help them in their reform campaigns. And so we're helping our members on that side as well, on the policy side.
Any advanced skills or trainings that people are requesting or that you're going to be providing maybe through webinar or live at certain seminars?
Yeah. I mean, we'll have general seminars that are really a blend of issues, even though they have a theme typically, and then specific practice area seminars, which I think is what your question gets to. So we have a death penalty seminar coming up. There is a DUI seminar, multiple DUI seminars, but one big one that we put on every year, drug law seminars. There is, sexual offense-oriented seminars. So yes, there's definitely, and people should look at our CLE calendar to familiarize themselves with the schedule and take advantage of those.
Okay, yeah, very good. So the best way for listeners to get involved is to go to nacdl.org?
Yes, that is correct. And I just want to reiterate that we need people's assistance, whether they're criminal defense lawyers or not. They can take action and get involved by either joining if they are, or going to our website, signing up for our take action alerts, which they will now then be prompted to contact their congresspeople, sign petitions. We also have an NACDL Foundation for Criminal Justice that funds and really helps us at NACDL do what we need to do with in regards to a few of our seminars, some of our reports, et cetera. We're always looking for donations. Anything is appreciated. If you just want to donate because you feel strongly about creating a more fair, just and humane criminal justice system, obviously that's wonderful as well. And if you are a company or a business that wants to support what we do, we have our publications that I mentioned. So we're always looking for advertisers or sponsor or exhibit at one of our amazing seminars. So information about all of those can be found at nacdl.org. In addition, I'd just like to say in 2019, we will be launching a redesigned website for NACDL. So be on the lookout for that.
Well, very good. I appreciate you guys coming. And I wanted to give a shout out in particular to Jason Petty, who wasn't mentioned, but he's been a coordinator on many conferences, and he's been a pleasure to work with, really great guy. So any attorneys that are considering attending NACDL events, if you interact with Jason, he's excellent to work with and a real, real nice guy.
He's fabulous. We enjoy working with him here as well. So thank you for that shout out.
Yeah, and you guys are great too. So Kyle and Jessica, I appreciate you coming on the podcast and spending the time.
Oh, thank you. It was a pleasure.
Yes, thank you for having us.
You've been listening to the Secrets of Attorney Marketing podcast from Speakeasy Marketing. Call 888-225-8594 or email rj@speakeasymarketinginc.com to enhance your reputation and outmarket your competitors. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast and post a review.